Praise God. Well, it is Father's Day. I'm going to be speaking directly to fathers today, but of course the Word of God applies to us across the board. We're going to be speaking a lot of things that'll apply to all of us, but I want to speak to fathers specifically. Let's go ahead and put up Genesis on the screen, and it's on your sheet. We won't turn there. We'll go ahead and turn to another scripture in a bit. But Genesis 18, verse 17. 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that I may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Now this is when Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. And that's the context. But the Lord said in verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing?" But this is the part that I want, next we'll read this verse too, and then the next part is what I really want to focus on. It says, "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Verse 19, "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Look at that in the New Living Translation on your sheet there. "I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." So God said, "I know Abraham, and I know he is going to teach his children." I mean, think about, God looked to Abraham and said, "I'm going to take this guy, and I'm going to make of him a nation." It says that he would direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Look at Joshua 24, verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14 on your sheet there. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems to you, or seems evil to you, to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now this is Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. He's saying, you, each person, each household, and the households were led and are led by men. That's God's way. That doesn't mean they're dictators. Should not be. Is God a dictator? He lets people do what they want. At their own hurt. God has the power to force everybody to do what he wants them to do, but he doesn't do that. He is a God that has given men and women, mankind, a free will. And he's a loving, good God. And he's our model as fathers. But Joshua is saying, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we're going to serve God. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 1. We'll just go over these. We'll say a few things and then go on into some other scriptures. But Ephesians 6, verse 1, or 2, actually. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, notice he talks specifically to fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Other translations bring out the idea, don't overdo it. Don't discourage them. Because evidently, as fathers, we could have a tendency to do that. You just get, you know, we're supposed to be strong. But, you know, you can just ride somebody to where they're discouraged. The Bible's saying, don't do that, but train them up. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Notice that. We're talking to fathers. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is a big responsibility of dads. You know, Shelley alluded to a little bit. We are to be the spiritual leaders of our household. Now, we had Mother's Day just, you know, a month or so ago. We're talking to dads right now. Not negating the role of the mother, okay? But they are separate. And I know in our day and age, good night, right now, more than ever, it is being pushed that these roles are just part of culture. They just happen and they're not innate in men and women. They're not supposed to be that way. And those are lies. There is a role of a father and there is the role of a mother, and they're not interchangeable, and they're supposed to operate together, and they are a team, but they're not the same. And the ultimate responsibility for the children, now children have their own responsibilities. As they get older, they have a free will, and they can choose to reject godly teaching and the way that they were trained, just like adults do. I mean, just like anybody else does. I mean, as they get to be an adult, they could anyone can choose to reject. But the Bible says in Proverbs, which I believe have on your sheet, Proverbs 22:6. Not really going away from this scripture, but can you put that up on the screen? Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the Bible. Now, people have a free will. They can reject it, but the Bible also says if you train them up, they won't do that. That responsibility is on the father, ultimately. Not just the father, I mean the mother has responsibility, but ultimately, see, this is where, if we're going to have authority, then there is responsibility that goes with it. World doesn't like that. They want all the authority, but they don't want none of the responsibility now. You see it all the time. Kids, you young people, they want to be able to tell people what to do, but they don't want to take the heat when something goes wrong. And they go together. Position in companies, I'm sorry. You know, the leader of the company may get paid more. That's because when something goes wrong, it goes on his shoulders. It doesn't go in the guy that just joined the company or is at the lowest level. Not knocking that, you got to start somewhere. But hey, they don't have equal responsibility. Do we understand that? In other words, the guy that's working in the kitchen is not going to have the same responsibility as the guy that owns the whole company and all the franchises. The guy that's working the kitchen can leave and quit and do all the time. But when you are leading something, don't have that luxury. And so there is responsibility that goes with that authority. Well, it's the same thing in a household. When we're talking about the man being the head of the household, and we're going to look at a few different scriptures, That does not come like you get to boss everybody around. There is responsibility, and ultimately, are people going to follow you or not? If the children aren't following you, then there's something wrong. Biblically, we're talking about the Bible, right? But we have a responsibility for kids. It's a spiritual responsibility that men have. Now, men, we have enough pressure as it is. This morning is not to put more pressure on us. This is to show what the Bible says and what our role is, and that God has ordained that we act in a certain way, and He gives us the strength to do it and to take our place and not be pushed into less of a role. Because in this society, it's trying to negate that role and say that it's unnecessary or it's interchangeable. It is not, according to the Word of God. It is not. And if we're going to have children, and whether your children are grown, whether they're little, it doesn't matter, we influence this society by who we are. We influence other people's children by the example we set, right? Whether your children are grown, when you see somebody in the grocery store, whatever, it's all a godly example influences our culture and our society. And we don't need to kowtow or be shy about what the Bible says and about the way it has laid down these roles. We are not talking about dictatorship. We are not talking about authoritarianism. God is a good God. He's our model, and He loves individuals. He bears with them. God the Father sent Jesus, showed His love by sending Jesus. The Bible says we're to love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is a high standard. That's not saying, oh, you get to boss everybody around. That's love. Love, when you walk in love with individuals, you are putting them first. You go back over to Ephesians 6. We're just going to read some scriptures just in line with some of these things today. But go ahead, go back to Ephesians 6, verse 4. Now, go back to verse 2. We'll just touch on this and then I'll move on. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Notice this. It's good for children to obey their parents. And it says there's a promise with it. Go back to the first part of that, verse 2. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That was verse 1. Can you go to verse 1? I messed up the verse there on your sheet, but it's actually verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you know children are supposed to obey? We're supposed to obey God as His children. But you know, children are supposed to obey. And in our day and age, it's almost like, what? Why? It's a suggestion. If you say something as parents or teachers, amazing how much there is a lack of respect for authority. But if we're going to teach God's principles, we need to be strong here. Again, not being a dictator, but this is for their own good. If we're going to teach the Word and emphasize God's ways, like we read about Abraham, we want them to obey. What's the flip side of that? If they don't obey, what are they doing? They're rebelling against God. That's not going to go well. If we love our children, we would want them to obey. It's not loving them by letting them do what they want. And in this day, I'm talking to fathers specifically, there is a push that you kind of let them do what they want because they're figuring it out, and you know that you don't want to be too hard on them. In the latter part of this verse, it warns against that. Go ahead. Look at, now I'm getting ahead of myself. Go to verse 2. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is what children are supposed to do. Guys, there's a reason that you have a strength in you, not saying that women aren't strong. It's a different thing. Again, we're talking to fathers. If I have to say that every time, then it's going to be a lot longer sermon. Okay, so I can't balance everything. Ladies, we're talking to fathers today. We got to stay on track. But next verse, that it may be well with you and you live long on the earth. There is something that the man needs to take up his position in the household and make sure that the kids obey. Go to the next verse. And you fathers, do not provoke your child to wrath. That means don't push them to where they're flipping out, but that doesn't mean you're not strong. What's the alternative again? That they don't do what God wants them to do, and that won't end up well for them. We're supposed to be strong. It says, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, when individuals will say, well, I don't want to push them because I don't want them to reject church. No, that's serious. People, they don't want to push because they feel like, well, if I, you know, they won't, they'll reject God. When we don't, now, again, this is warning, you don't go over the top, and it's talking about discouragement. You know, dude, you don't like it when somebody rides you, do you? All the time. That everything that you do, it's wrong, you got to do this. If we would be discouraged. And some people have that concept of God, and that's why they don't like God. But they've been lied to. God is not that way. People grew up getting whacked every time they did something, even that was a childish mistake, and maybe they in church or in some, you know, Christian so-called school, and they don't want to have anything to do with God because they associate the way they were treated with God. That's what this is talking about. Discouragement. Beyond, that's not love. Beating somebody up all the time for every little thing, that's not love, and that's not God. God does not deal with us that way. If you think God's dealing with you that way, you're listening to the enemy. He's actually got in there, and he's feeding you lines that this is God, and he'll use Scripture to do it. The enemy will use Scripture as a club, but it's a half-truth, because that's not the way God sees us. So that this is talking about just going over the top and berating kids, but a healthy encouraging them to do what God has told them to do and holding the line is not bad. And so if we try to back off of this because we believe they won't serve God, do you know what we're actually telling them? You don't actually have to serve God because we're backing up and, well, I don't want to make them attend this thing because it conflicts with this other event and I don't want to irritate them. You know what we just said? The other thing is more important than church. It's more important than God. All the time. I've seen it where in any area, if we back off and put something else before God because we think we're trying to appease, you know what actually happens? It's exact opposite of the intended result. It gives the message that the other thing is more important than the way the Lord would have us to do things. And in this, the society is full of this now. It pushes us to try to think you don't need to like push the Not push the things of God, but put those first. Because we don't want to turn people away from God. Well, what does that do? It turns people away from God. It makes it that it's not serious. And it is serious. Mm-hmm. There's one person that I knew, nobody in the church, nobody that you know. Their philosophy when they were coming up was, well, I want to let my children figure out their own road. I don't want to show them and push them toward any belief in God or so, because I feel like they need to figure it out for themselves. Because this person just kind of thought, you know, well, not too sure about God and, you know, belief system, so I'm going to let my kids figure that out. You know how what the kids ended up believing? Exactly like what the parent believed. They didn't particularly believe anything about God. They never went to church. They just grew up and kind of was like, whatever. Actually, exactly how they were trained. Amen. So we don't need to back off being the spiritual leaders. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "For what great nation is there that has God so near it as the Lord God is to us, for whatever reason, as we may call upon Him?" And what great nation is there that such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children." See, notice it's saying it's not enough just to know the scriptures or know what God is saying. We're supposed to teach our kids and bring them along. Deuteronomy 6:6. Let's go just a couple chapters back. Deuteronomy 6:6. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Look on your sheet there in the New Living Translation. Same scripture, Deuteronomy 6:6. It says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Does this seem like a side, like something that's just kind of emphasized on the side? Or does this seem like the main part of these people's lives? This is, you know, people would call this, in today's day and age, they'd say these people are fanatics. We're supposed to be. What is there more important than the Lord and His ways? Why are we even here? We're here to worship Him, and the only reason we're still here is because there's more people in the family of God that need to come in. But while we're here, might as well get used to it. In heaven, it's all about Him. And it's supposed to be all about Him now. See, this, again, guys, this world is trying to push and saying, you don't want to get your... Now, I'm not saying to be weird in front of people and push things when it's not appropriate, but the world is saying, religion, it's a side thing. And it's not. It's the thing, not religion, but faith in God and walking with Him is the thing. And our kids, guys, have to understand this is the thing. Anything else is side. Anything else that we may have in this earth or come into contact with, it is secondary to what would God have me do and how am I supposed to live for Him? How do I do this? Amen? There, you know, we can name any kind of number of activities, and there, I'm not against things. We just got to make sure, you know, sports or hobbies or education, etc., they're all fine in their place. The point is, do they have a place higher than God? And perception-wise, do those things from our children, are they higher? Are they further up? Now, again, guys, these things, I'm not reading these scriptures and saying these things to we should not receive condemnation from this, okay? We should not beat ourselves up. Like I said, we have more than enough pressure in this world doing what we do. What we ought to take, and what I really want to drive home today, is that there is a godly role for a father, and we need to be in that and know that it's okay in this day and age, and not to make light of it, and know that God will give us the strength and the direction no matter where we are to do it. Don't compare yourself to anybody. No, we should look at the Word and say, Lord, okay, here's where I am. Now, You show me next steps to take, and how should I, no matter where we are in the continuum, we want to keep going more toward Him. What is the, how am I showing my children, my family, the right way? Guys, none of us are perfect. We're not talking about that. And we're talking about our families, so they know where we live. And we, how we live, right? We're talking about in our home. They see everything. And there is not one person here that walks it perfectly. And the enemy will try to use the fact that you mess up to try to derail everything. Well, you missed it, and they saw you missed it. You're a hypocrite. Why are you even trying? Acting spiritual, but you're not anything. You know you did this and this and this. Guys, everybody stumbles. Don't plan to, don't want to, but the fact, what we need to understand is that it is your heart after God, and if we keep getting up and going on, that itself is an example to our kids that we don't have to be perfect, and that God, if we walk with God, He will use us where we're at. That is an example. Just getting up and saying, I was wrong, forgive me. You know your daddy's not perfect. Guys, we've all had to do it. It's humbling. The minute we stop doing it, we're setting a different example saying you don't have to do that. That's worse than if you miss it, you get up and say, guys, that was wrong. This, or if we've been doing something in our family, you know, we've been watching something we shouldn't, and we realize, you know what, I need to cut that out. To go and say, you know what, we're not going to watch that anymore. Well, you just admitted you were wrong up until this point. But to say, this is why. Are your kids going to jump up and down all the time for that? No. And it's tempting to go, well, it's not worth it. I don't want to do that. What we need to know is, are we following Him? Are we doing it because we believe it's right? And not just doing it for another reason, if it's the right thing, because we're going to all have battles. We're going to have pushback on different things, so we need to know, is it God or is it some other reason? Because we don't need the push if it's just doing it to do it. But if it's doing it because it's best for the family and doing it because it's what we believe, got where God has our family at, then we need to be firm and know that it's okay if kids squirm a little bit, because we're all going to squirm as we're molded into His image. Let me ask you a question. I mean, you as an individual, if God is bringing you up, does that ever make your flesh squirm? Of course it does. You know what we're training them for? Life with God. If we think they're all, if we train them that they're always going to get their way, if you're going to walk with God, you're not always going to get your way. Anybody found that out? You know, with God, it's okay. Now, people sometimes say, they don't want to tell their kids as a reason to do something because I said so. God does that all the time. You ask Him why, you basically get silence. Because I told you to do it. You'll find out why later. Really? You see it in the Bible. Told Abraham, go. Get out of your town. Then tell him where he's going. Why? Right? Didn't tell him. He didn't know where he was going specific. He didn't know everything ahead of him. God, if we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to walk by faith. And we got to understand that when the Word of God says something, whether we feel like it's right or not, we need to say, yeah, that's right, and that's what I'm going to do. So it is okay to tell our kids, this is what we're going to do, and this is what the Lord said, and that's the way it's going to be. Why? Because I said so, and God said so, and this is what we're going to do. Well, I don't like that. Okay. Not talking about being mean, but it really, in our society, it's like, oh, you didn't like that? Oh, well, we won't do it that way. Right? Everybody's going to complain. I don't like it. I don't like it. Well, how are you going to do anything? Because everybody doesn't like something. And that's where we're getting to. Well, that doesn't make you feel good. Oh, well, we'll do it a different way. What is that teaching the kid? That's teaching them that it's all about them. You know, it's all about the Lord. And it's about, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. That means you don't treat yourself like trash and don't have a low valuation of yourself. But you also think about the person next to you, right? It's okay. Guys, it's okay to stand up for what the Lord said. We're commanded to do this. Praise God. Let's go over to 1 Timothy. First Timothy. Chapter 3. So here it's talking about the qualifications of a bishop, or overseer, or pastor. And then a little further down it talks about deacons. Deacons are just leaders in the church. Says verse 1, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine. not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God, and not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil? Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. But look at verse 4. It says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Look at that verse 4 in the New Living Translation. It says, he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. Must manage, you know, it says in New King James, he must rules his own house well. Well, in our day and age, you know, just talking like that, people get all kinds of ideas. That doesn't sound probably as good to our ears, but, you know, he brings it out, this other version. He must manage his own family well, but it does bring out the connotation. He is the one that is responsible. Right? Responsible. Well, that's just, you know, my kids are doing this. I don't know why they do it. That's not a good answer. And again, I'm not saying this. We're not saying these things and reading these scriptures for condemnation. It's so that we understand there's a role here, and it's easy to back away from. That's a great responsibility. Amen. It's a great responsibility. But God, anywhere he tells us to do something, we have the power and the ability and the enablement to do what he told us to do. So if he told us to act a certain way, then with those words, we have the ability and power to do it. Let's keep going in verse 8. It says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. This just is so politically incorrect. Isn't it? But it's the Bible. Hallelujah. And look at how that's working out for the world, the way all these crazy ideas people say. Well, we're going to do it this way. We don't want to do it God's way because we know that's not true, but we're going to do it this way. Now, it's not working. We don't know why, but it's not because it's not God's way. We're going to keep figuring it out. Likewise, their wives must be reverent. You can just, if you just read this, you know, on the open streets, people go, what? Not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Again, look at the New Living Translation. It's very similar. The verse we just read says, a deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. Again, the responsibility is for us, guys, to pass down and to train our kids, our children. And like I said, that's a great responsibility. And it should be. The weight of that should hit us. And if we realize what we're talking about, it should drive us to the Lord and say, God, you help me with this, because you're talking about people that are going to, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back soon, I mean, we, of course, like we said, we're closer than we ever have been. We know that much, just because, you know, every day you're closer, but some of you guys got that, but we're closer than we ever have been, but we know we are, I mean, if you just look at everything, I can't imagine this thing going another 50 years. It's just like the wheels are going to come off. But if we keep going, children are going to have children and children. That we're affecting generations then. Well, that's not light. Well, they'll figure it out. So we have what they get taught and what they see. I don't care what the world says. It ultimately, I mean, it's our responsibility to train them. What do we do? Now, again, don't receive condemnation from this. Don't go, oh, man, yeah, I messed up. We've all messed up. Okay? We all have made mistakes. And not a bad confession. I dare say we'll make a few in the future. Not because we want to. Not because we are trying to. Doing our best, but we may make some mistakes. But just because we make mistakes doesn't mean that we don't have the responsibility. And just because the world is saying it's okay to do a bunch of stuff, and it's okay to, you know, throw church aside and throw God aside, and we'll just compartmentalize that, and all these other things are more important, does not mean that is any less important in our lives. The Word, all these scriptures we read, they still read the same, and we can still come up, if God told us to do something, then we can do it, and we can do it well. And we don't have to compare ourselves. I mean, you don't... Good night, guys. I know I feel this as much as you do. You read, you see somebody's account of how they were being a dad or whatever, and it can just hit you if you're not thinking right, like, oh, yeah, I should have done this and that and didn't do this right. I mean, that's not godly thinking. We can't let those things get, they can get in and try to discourage us. We need to say, Lord, I'm going before you. I'm going to do my best. Lord, this, I am accountable to you. You show me. I don't care what the world say. I don't care what they're showing on TV. I don't care what people are saying. They say this thing isn't important, or if they call me a fanatic. Again, we're not talking about being weird, but just you going to church. And actually believing the Bible qualifies you to be a fanatic now. You believe that book? Really? Don't you know that's not really true? Gosh, you must be have your head in the ground. We're not talking about being weird, but being godly. Just because the world has cast off things does not give us the license to cast it off. We go before God and say, Lord, you show me. Lord, I know where I've been. I know where I want to go. You show me the steps. And Lord, I'm here and my heart's after you. My heart is to see my children after you. Because after all, there is no greater joy. It's talking about this, the Word's talking about this in relation to spiritual children, but there is no greater joy than to see our children choose God and walk solidly after Him. That, we're successful. Anything else is secondary. And God will give us the strength and the help to do it. And we don't have to back off that role. It's crucial. Amen. Look at in closing, we'll just look at these two scriptures. Go ahead and put it up on the screen, and we'll just look at it on your sheet. Psalm 128:3. I like this. It says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. You can just see prosperity and just, I mean, not financial, but that's there too. Just fullness, joy. Go ahead to the next one. It said, behold, thus shall be the man blessed who fears the Lord. It is a good thing to do what he said and to go after him. Go ahead and put up Joshua 1:9. For us then, guys, to do this and to go forward, it can seem daunting. It can seem like, we made mistakes. But the Bible says this in general, and it says this specifically. You can, and it's not specifically talking to fathers here, you can apply this generally, but as a father, we need to apply this. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to know this, what we're doing, being in this role. Nobody said it's easy, but God said, be strong. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. The worst thing we can do is shy away, be afraid, and shy away from our responsibility and where we're needed, and abdicate that. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be downcast, for God is with us wherever we go. He's with us to do this. He's with us to help our children and our grandchildren walk that path. In this world where they're all looking away and we have constant bombardment of godless ideas, we are in this time, and God will help us to help them walk the straight path. He is faithful. Because after all, you look at them as your children, but they are His children, and this is their childhood. Or if you have children who have grandchildren, this is their childhood. Whoever it is, God will look over them and help you to help them, because He cares. Amen? Amen? And He can take, even if we have made mistakes, even if we have done the wrong thing, our heart toward God, God can take it, turn it around, and help our children still walk the right path in spite of our imperfections. Amen.